Welcome to our after-hours segment, Conversations with the Producer, where myself, Adana Moriarty, the producer of Talking Book Publishing, continues the conversation with our guests, hitting them up for more juicy intel into the world of publishing. I hope you enjoy. Hello.
Hey, Adana.
How's it going?
Going well.
So you guys touched on it a little bit in the very beginning. There are a couple of questions I want to ask you. One is about the process of writing this book together, but the first one is, I would like a little bit more of who you guys are, because, you know, you guys with Kathleen talked a lot about, like the band and obviously what's inside the book. And I just kind of want to know a little bit more about your journey of how you got here. So Steve, what do you do? Or like, I mean, you said with Kathleen that, you know, you've done some kind of journalist stuff earlier in your career. Is that something that you've done all along?
Yeah, well, I was a writing major when I was in college. I was an English writing arts major with a concentration in journalism and nonfiction. So I was always able to write, and I had a writing background. When I got out of school, I worked some jobs that my degree would afford me the ability to get as a recent graduate. And I was doing some freelance work and covering some stuff for newspapers and whatnot. But then my career kind of went in another direction where I got into graphic design and graphic arts. And then that kind of segued into being a web developer. So now I'm kind of like a designer developer. And I've been doing that for the last 20 plus years. But I've always written on the side, just stuff for my own enjoyment. And you know, so when Rick made me the offer to kind of get back to some of my roots here as a writer and take on this project, it was like going home again.
So, I mean, this is your first endeavor into like a book.
Book publishing, correct. Right.
So, I mean, Rick, this is your second endeavor into a book because you did the Before the Band. So what about you? I mean, what is your journey kind of, I guess, up to the first book then? Because, I mean, you've already kind of put together, you know, and put the research in and the time. But, I mean, you know, besides a love of the band, like, what does that look like for you? How did you end up here?
It's been a strange trip for sure. So I started out as a writer. I got out of high school and I wrote for local papers, and then joined the Air Force and was a correspondent with them. I was a writer, editor, photographer in the Air Force. Before I got to the Air Force, I spent 3 years as a manager of a local record store in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. So I already had a love for writing, a love for music. And I took that to the military and saw some pretty amazing things. And then when I got out, I ended up writing more for, you know, the financial press, which was a little dry, but, and I learned how to, of all things, code software while I was writing for the financial press. And I ended up becoming a full-time software developer. But I never stopped writing. I always kept on writing because when you're a writer, that's just what you do. Ask Steve. You just keep writing.
Yeah,
you don't
absolutely
stop.
Why does a writer write? Because he has to. But yeah, and also Rick mentioned like the love of music and stuff. And obviously that's another area where we, you know, cross interests here, because more than any of that other stuff, what I identify myself as mostly is a music guy, a musician. I play music, I write music. I don't do it professionally, but I do it, maybe you'd call it semi-professional. I am out 50 times a year doing shows, whatnot, in the New York area. Labor of love. And so this book is, you know, it's my love of writing, my love of music. It's all there.
So it's kind of interesting though, that you guys like both have tech backgrounds. You both love music and you both are just writers at heart. Cause you guys, you didn't know each other until you start, I mean, like working on this book, right?
We're brothers from a different mother.
Yeah.
There you go. Awesome. Yeah. like the tech end of things, you know, that wasn't done on purpose. That just kind of came about because I was in design as a graphic designer, which again is more creative type stuff. But when this whole thing called the web came out and people started making websites and there was the question of, well, who should be making money on that? The IT people threw in with it for a little while. And then the graphic designer said, well, we make pretty things on paper. Why don't we make pretty things on a screen? And, you know, we really didn't have business getting into something that was so code heavy, but that's just how it happened for me. And I was fortunate because I'm a little bit right-brained and left-brained. I was an English major whose best subject was math. I liked the English stuff better, but I was better at the logical, analytical stuff. So, again, I get to kind of feed both sides of, you know, my skill set with that, with this career. And that's how I ended up being a little more techie than maybe I would have thought I would have been.
It's funny because, I mean, like my degree is in web design. And when I graduated school, I built like two professional websites that were like big. And I was like, I hate coding. I wanted to make pretty things. I'm an artist. I'm a writer. I'm an artist. And I mean, now that's what I do. I mean, I build websites, but there's so many great programs out there where you can build from the front end instead of the back end. And it's great. I cheat. So I want to talk a little bit about, the process of writing this book together, because it's a big, extensive book. And I'm just curious kind of how that works. I mean, as co-writers on something like this, like, you know, did you guys have set jobs or was it just like, ooh, I did this here, look at it? I mean, what does that look like?
Well, the tech stuff we just talked about factors in here because Rick set the infrastructure for all of this with his first book, which is that he set up basically a database where we all wrote into and submitted our works into. But the first step was doing what we called headlines, which was our word for the different stories we were going to cover in the book, almost like an outline. And, you know, Rick had a bunch to begin with when I got on board. And then I went through the history of the band with my knowledge and going through research and, you know, added, well, I think we got to talk about this. I think we got to talk about this. And then we had an outline that was all in this very high-tech database. So the next thing we would do was grab the stories that we felt, yeah, I can knock this one out. I know what I'm going to say for this. Rick, for example, was much more in tune than I was with things like chart performance and where and when the singles broke. I maybe knew some more stuff about certain songs and members and bands that were on the periphery. So we would kind of grab those things to start because we knew we could, you know, that would be a good story for us to pick. And then, you know, when we were done with that, then we had to go back and be like, all right, we got to divide up the rest of these and tackle them. And, you know, in the end, we ended up doing about 50-50, you know, I would say. Do you agree, Rick?
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it was. It was the thing that was really nice about it was actually watching things sort of come together because before Steve came in, I had a bunch of headlines. And like Steve said, our headlines are just, that's just shorthand for stories that we have to write. So we always started with a headline. So this is what the headline's going to be, and that tells you what the story is going to be about. So you just get in there and write the story. And we would write one story, and then it would be a big story. So big that it was almost like, you know, this is probably two stories. We should probably break this in two and make this a different story. And then we did that. dozens of times. And, you know, there's a lot. If you take a look at the book, there's a lot of very short stories in here. We've got a good number of just simple 300 word stories that are just like continuity stories for the book. I mean, it keeps that we're telling the story in a chronology, and these things happened along the way that just kind of step you through where they were in the spring of 74 or the summer of 75. And so we just take those stories and we break them up. And sometimes one story would spawn two or three other stories and it just blossomed to the point where at the very end, I had no clue how big this book was going to be. It was just big. A whole lot of words.
That's where it ended up, was a big book. But you guys cover a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, if you tried to cram it into 300 pages, it probably wouldn't have worked as well as it has or is going to. We're going to find that out soon, right? Splitting it up like this, I mean, did you guys have to like try to match each other's writing style, or were you just like, you know, it doesn't matter?
No, that was a concern that certainly was a concern. And as a result, it took on more of a journalistic type of approach, where we couldn't necessarily make something completely have my voice if it's nothing like the previous story that followed it in the book. So in that sense, we kind of put the content first and left ourselves more out of the picture than maybe, you know, we would in a different type of writing, you know. But, you know, we focused on the band and the story. And there was that concern, though, with continuity. By the time all was said and done, and the editing process and the back and forth, I think we both all, you know, had our hands over everything in the book, so much so to the point that when we'd be, you know, wrapping some stuff up towards the end and we were doing final edits and such, it often came down to us saying, yeah, well, on that story, I don't remember. Did I write that one?
Did you write? I don't know, because that's exactly right, because it was hilarious because when we were getting down to final edits, it was like, I found another couple quotes about this story that I think would help the story along, and we'll insert it here. Should you insert it or should I? I don't remember who wrote this story anymore.
That's so funny. lots of research. I mean, would you just fall down like research rabbit holes and, you know, emerge days later and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
What happened to me?
Yeah. I mean, the research part of it, you know, I can't speak for Steve, but for me, it's just fun. I just love doing it because I love pouring over, and this is research in general. I had an awful lot of fun doing research for the Eagles, but in general, I like doing research. And it was fun because you start digging into the stories and then you hit a quote that you haven't seen before and you're like, Oh, that tells that story that cast this all in a very, very different light. A great example is the story that Steve wrote on Glenn Frey's little onstage shenanigans involving the New York Dolls. So the New York Dolls were a glam band in New York in the early 1970s, you know, kind of like Kiss before there was Kiss, you know, lots of makeup, androgynous, and they never really made it outside of New York, but they were really big to New York. And, you know, the Eagles had a couple top 10 hits and got to New York and weren't getting their due, or they didn't feel like they were getting their due. So Glenn Frey, rambunctious guy that he is, in New York, called the New York Dolls a bunch of sissies. and the press didn't take it all that well. So we wrote a story, or Steve wrote a story about that incident. And, you know, it was a good story, but further into the editorial process, actually, we're getting really, really close to the end of the book, and I'm pouring over stuff. And then suddenly I find this story that quotes Don Henley and Glenn Frey. And oh my God, they go into just fabulous detail about that incident. And I'm like, whoa, Steve, we have to update this story, because mm-hmm. we can't not have this information in the book. I mean, it's if we don't include it, it's going to be lost to time, because nobody else is going to dig that deep and find it there. So we went and we updated the story, and now it's in there. And it the thing that's nice about what we found is that the Eagles always had sort of an adversarial relationship with the press, especially the East Coast press. And the New York Doll story now, when readers come and they read the New York Doll story, it'll give them some context into exactly why that adversarial relationship with the press existed and how they tried to move past it. So it was that's just an example, but it was fun to do the research on that.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing that you guys both have dug up, I mean, just in the amount of pages and put it all together. And not to mention that it's not the only book. So I'm guessing that the amount of information on the Eagles as a band that you guys have dug up has got to be probably one of the most comprehensive ever.
I think so. You know, one of the things about this too is there's something for everyone in the book. It covers not just the stories of the bands and the people that were around, but, you know, again, we go into things like award shows and chart performance and where did a single break, and did it break here first or get popular down in the South or in the East? And, you know, that's the kind of thing where maybe not everybody's interested in that, but we include it all, and it's all indexed, and you can find whatever you're looking for. So it can be read cover to cover, but it can also be sort of treated like a reference book where you can pick and choose the parts that really interest you. So I think that's a strength of it, because and that lend itself to the sheer length was we were covering everything. We were putting everything in there. It's all there if you want to read it.
Yeah. I mean, lots of pictures too. And, you know, I mean, there's a huge nostalgia factor to that. So there's going to be a third book that you guys are co-writing together. Is that the plan?
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in co-writing, are there things that you learned, like, oh, this worked really well, or this we should never do ever again, to, you know, to kind of streamline the process for the next project? I mean, like, for people out there who might want to co-write a book together, is there some, you know, is there tips or tricks that you can give them that would help them do that?
I would just say flexibility with the approach. Not even so much with me and Rick, but, you know, just between the two writers and the editors, you know, we had an editing team and everything. There are certain times where you had to kind of say, well, I'm part of a team here. So if I don't get my way on something with this story, that might be okay. Occasionally there'd be something where you'd say, this is a hill I'm going to die on. We cannot say this, or we must say this, or whatever. But most of the time you have to learn to just kind of say, well, it could be A, it could be B. They're both good ways to go. Let's pick one and go. So that's what I would say.
I would agree with that. And the lesson that I learned most from this book is, trust your editors. We're not all kings of prose. And I certainly am not. And the thing that was the hardest to swallow was having somebody tear up your story and then send it back to you to put back together. And you know, that didn't happen a lot, but it happened once or twice. The hardest part for me was just being able to step back from that and say, and be objective and say, you know, that's probably right. And, you know, if I don't trust my editors, then this is going to be a really, really painful process. And it's not just the editors, it's the proofreaders and the copy editors and the line editors. I mean, we had all of them and all straight through the process. And if you don't trust each one of them in the process, you're not going to end up with a very good product. And I think that was a lesson that we learned, and that we have a really, really great book because of it.
Well, editing is so important, and it is hard to have somebody, not you, tell you, whoa, you know. And I think, like, as writers, like, sometimes we can't see it. You could read your book 1,000 times, and until somebody else is like, this section doesn't work, you won't see it. Cause to you, you're like, it does work. I wrote that. That works fine. So editing is important. It kind of almost is like, from what you guys both just said, it's like the same approach that a band would have to take when they're putting together an album.
I can absolutely speak about that and tell you that you're right. And it's the same type of thing. You know, I'm playing right now in a trio where we all write and sing and bring in our own compositions and whatnot. And, you know, when someone has a suggestion, you know, it's always the first reaction is, oh, well, that's not what I wasn't thinking that, but okay. And then in the end, it usually is better for it. But it's that sort of, I don't know if it's ego or whatever, but it's that first sense of like, wow, you're raining on my parade of what I'm trying to say here or what I'm trying to do. And, but we get over it pretty quickly. And I think it's the same thing with the writing as well.
Well, I'm super happy for you guys. This was definitely a big book and obviously a labor of love for both of you. I'm excited to see what it does when people can get it in their hands. It's coming out at perfect Christmas holiday shopping time. So I appreciate the extra time that you guys spent with me. And, you know, I can't wait to get to talk to you again when you guys are bestsellers.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much again. I appreciate you letting us talk with you today.
Talking Book Publishing and our after-hours segment, Conversations with the Producer, are brought to you by writersandpublishersnetwork.com and WPNwebinars.com. We hope you are enjoying our podcast. Reach out to us if there's anything that you would like us to cover on future podcast episodes.